Hello, and welcome to Holden Village. Today is Sunday, February 8th, 2004. Today's session is entitled Grounded in Joy, Living in God, Session 5 of the Women's Retreat, Grounded in God's Vision, presented by Sister Mary Jo Chavs and Reverend Gloria Jost. Session number CHM 2004-05. Let's listen in.
I want to know, on a scale of 1 to 5, did you have a fruitful, wonderful, fun, good, filled afternoon?
Yes.
All right, that's good. So you get to share this with one another back in your groups. So you may go, and I will come and get you in a whopping 20 minutes. I thought an appropriate way to gather the abundance of this afternoon would be just to open ourselves up and share with the larger group a word or a phrase as our opening prayer that perhaps kind of capsulizes your afternoon. So, most gracious God, for all that you are and the mystery of you and all that we are and the mystery of us, we come before you with hearts that are full of a multitude of experiences. And so we share our how it was for us today.
Relaxing.
Freshness.
Fulfilling.
Affirmation.
Grounded.
Peaceful.
Delight.
Openness.
Centering.
Validity.
Poetry.
Marmots.
Questions.
Peaceful.
Assured.
Good and gracious God, abundant God, God of joy, God in us and all around us, thank you. Amen. This morning we spent a bit of time looking at what it's like being grounded in relationship with the God beyond all names. This afternoon, we move into looking at what that relationship, the fruits of that relationship. I'm going to back up. What one of the fruits of that relationship is, and that is joy. We don't, in my church history, I'm just going to have to do a little caveat here. Joy was not one of the hot topics. I don't know about you, but it just wasn't right up there. There were some other ones. But joy was not one of those. For me, it was moving into Franciscan spirituality that I was introduced to joy with a capital J. And so it is out of that spirit and out of that experience that I feel that I have maybe that much to speak from. Because when you are around Franciscans, they are the happiest group of people. And I can tell you that I have been around a lot of orders, because holy orders, because, well, I've been to orders too, but because I was a conference coordinator in a couple of different places, and every order has their charism. And Franciscans is joy and eating. Two things. Anyway, so out of that, we're going to look at joy today. And then following that, we're going to experience our response of abiding in God that brings us joy by praying for the world. And we're going to have a time of intercessory prayer. But let's look at joy. Nan Merrill. Perhaps some of you know her as an author of Psalms for Praying, a wonderful book of psalms with a contemplative kind of posture to them. She writes, "A joy-filled heart creates peace, order, and harmony. For the song of the soul is a joy that calms inner storms and beams light into the darkness. A smile lifts at least two hearts. A jubilant heart overflows with gratitude, initiates selfless service, beats in harmony with the universe, and blesses the world. Cultivate within yourself a sacred garden of silence with blossoms of beauty to share. Joy and justice are sisters that lighten the heart and point the way." Joy and justice are sisters. Isn't that interesting? And that's really why, as Mary Jo and I were planning this, we recognized that out of joy comes holding the cares and concerns of the world. There's a deep, clear connection between those two. I'm going to start with a story about myself. I'm going to tell on myself. It's something I cannot help myself. It just is. And that is my laughter. When I giggle, I don't know if you've heard it, but it's very resonant. And I cannot help it. And when I worked as a conference coordinator in a particular place, they had cement staircases that went down one floor and up two floors. The bottom floor was the administration area where spiritual directors were giving spiritual direction. I was the receptionist one floor up, right next to these concrete steps. And when I would be talking on the phone, I did not know that you could hear my laughter all the way through this huge building, the 32 bedrooms building. I mean, the length of it, spiritual direction office, it could be heard. It could be heard everywhere. Now, I find that a bit troubling, because that just means that I cannot be anonymous wherever I go. But some others saw that as kind of infectious and full of joy. That's just the way it is. But I think that's a picture of perhaps of, in a small way, what God desires for us. God desires that something that is so a part of us emanates from us that it fills and just kind of penetrates the world in a way that cannot be ignored. That, I believe, is an illustration of the God-given joy and God's desire for us. Someone once said that laughter is the jam on the toast of life. I like that. It's the jam on the toast of life. It adds flavor, keeps it from being too dry, and makes it easier to swallow. A person of joy takes life and themselves more lightly, but take others more seriously. That's one side of joy that, one side of the coin of joy that is very true, and we could share stories of how that joy just bubbles up from us when wonderful things happen in our lives. We all have those stories. That's easy to talk about, and that comes quickly. But what does it look like to have a joyful spirit in the midst of suffering? How do we connect joy and suffering? Brother Roger, the founder of the Taizé community in France, a community of ecumenical brothers, probably many of you know about this community, they try to live a parable of communion by having Protestant, Orthodox, and Catholic traditions together, each holding on to their tradition and yet being in communion with one another. Awesome. Awesome expression of solidarity with one another. But they also deeply believe that out of that they must be in the world. And so they have go to the poorest areas around the world to give expression to this unity that they have experienced, this solidarity with one another, along with the poor. And Brother Roger says that joy is the foundation of compassion. Yeah, try that on. Joy is the foundation of compassion. He goes on to say that it is our joy, the joy that we experience because of the resurrection of Jesus in our and our experience in our own lives, that we know, we understand moving from death to life because we walk with Jesus. That joy can then be given as compassion and true empathy towards one another. Have you known that to be true in your own lives? I mean, does that connect with you? Some of you are shaking your heads. I actually had to work with that one a little bit because I think for myself, so often joy has only, the corners of your mouth turned up. But that isn't what Brother Roger is saying, and I think he's on to something that is really about the depth of joy that can permeate our lives no matter where we are and what we are involved in. I see that Phyllis has raised her hand, and that means that she's going to say something profound.
Yes. I'm not talking. I think our joy is deeper after a grief experience. And I think it's through that grief experience that we develop a higher sense of compassion.
Did everybody hear that?
Yeah.
You shake your heads as if you know. Is there something else that you want to share and kind of piggyback onto what I have just shared that would expand our understanding of joy and maybe give the grounding of our life experience in that? Anyone else?
Well, I think it's a matter of somehow of contrast because we don't appreciate the joy that we have within us until we've been without it. Mm. And then when it returns, it is so much more important and so much more meaningful than what we took for granted and didn't recognize as as such a useful thing. Mm-hmm. Mm.
I think that's a very, that's true. Someone else?
I don't remember who it was that said this, but they say that joy is the echo of God's life in us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That would kind of connect and be a corollary to what Brother Roger is saying about the risen Christ. Anyone else?
I just was thinking about you playing the harp with the dying people and how much joy there must be at that time of sorrow. Mm.
There is a sense in a time of grief or sorrow of Sabbath. I had cancer at one point in my life, and it was such a wonderful time. There's so much permission given to those who are sick to rest and walk and eat well and care for ourselves and be nourished. It was really a year of enormous laughter. We had more guests that year than we ever did, and then just the lovely joy. I remember one day I was peeling potatoes and looking out the kitchen window, at Sweet Peas Growing on the Fence, and I thought, oh, I have it all. Mm-hmm. And I would not have, and I was dying. It was a wonderful time. Mm-hmm. It was a blessing. Yeah. And it's hard for people who have not had those times to know that. And so there's often lots of fear.
On a lighter side, there's an expression of joy right above us. One of our wonderful sisters fell down and just hurt her back a little bit, nothing serious. But she wanted to know if she could take an Advil or something and lay upstairs and listen to what is going on. Well, she's in a joyous state right now. Anyway, I'm just going to close with one illustration of St. Francis, a story that is told I think holds both of these elements together. You know, the joy that brings the mouth turned up, and then joy that is in the midst of some of the circumstances that we spoke about. St. Francis lived in very, very difficult times in Italy, where there were the poorest of poor and the outcast, just as we know it today. And he chose to work amongst the lepers, the outcast, those who were actually thrown out and separated from those in the city. They had a swamp that they got to live in. And St. Francis chose to minister with those people. Now hold that. That kind of ministry. Now, this is also a picture of St. Francis. He would often be seen running through the forest, playing two sticks, and singing praises to God because of his love for all of creation. Playing two sticks. There it is. The both and. And I think that's the invitation for us, to play two sticks in the midst of our lives. That shows itself as compassion. We're going to move now into a time where we actually have an opportunity to hold the cares and concerns for those around us, the cares and concerns we have brought with us, and the cares and concerns and situations around the world. The format for this is going to be a scripture reading read that talks about abiding in Christ and joy. It's from the Gospel of John. So again, the theme of joy and being grounded in God. Following that, there will be a short period of silence, and then we'll move into a spoken set of intercessions that either Mary Jo and I will say, followed by a sung response, which you should have right on your laps. We'll go through that a couple of times before we begin our prayer time. But after the sung response, we will then read another set of intercessions and back and forth, the singing, the reading. And then there will be a time where we can open and share our own intercessions aloud with one another. And then the closing will just be singing this sung response several times, and then we'll leave with a blessing. Okay? Let's take that piece of music that we have, and Gloria or Jerry, I haven't even spoken to you about this, but what if you'd be willing to go to the piano and play this for us and throughout the intercessions as well? Doesn't matter to me.
Aren't they something?
Just to let you know that these intercessions are part of the book that Gloria wrote, Hearts Extended, and this is her first composition.
Okay. The tune goes like this. together.
The setting for the scripture from John is the Last Supper. Jesus has gathered his disciples. And wants to share with them his deepest expression of love. And he puts it this way. I am the true vine. And my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, God prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish. It will be done for you. God is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As God has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. I have said these things to you, so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. The word of life.
Jesus, you are the vine, and we are the branches. You told us that if we remain connected to you, we will bear much fruit. But we confess that sometimes we do not bear good fruit in the way that we treat the earth. We forget our relationship to all creation. In so doing, we detach ourselves from the web of life and treat the earth without respect and reverence. At this time, we pray for the torn fabric of our world, the land we live upon, our rivers and streams, and the air that we breathe. Each has been hurt by our misuse and neglect. As we abide in you, may we bear the fruit of gentle care for the earth and for all creatures who share their home with us. May we remember that the earth is not ours to possess. May we treat the earth as a priceless treasure. O God of love, may we abide in you.
Jesus, you invite us to remain close to you, with your words deeply rooted in us. You desire that all people be nourished with your love. Yet we confess it is fear that makes us strident and vengeful and divides us as an international community. Our governments have exploited the poor, crushing the spirits of countless women and men and children. At times, our world leaders have disconnected themselves from the global family in the name of national interest. We offer prayer for all world leaders. May they act justly and with compassion toward our sisters and brothers around the world. May the political and economic decisions of our world leaders bear the good fruit of justice and peace, so that we may move toward wholeness within the global family. O God of love, abide in us.
Those places near and far away in which hatred and bitterness have divided and alienated people. We pray for the people we know whose hearts are broken because of severed relationships. We pray for those people who, for various reasons, withdraw themselves from others, finding it difficult to experience abundant life and joy. And so at this time, let us name aloud the people, the places, and the situations that we hold in our hearts.
Our country and the upcoming presidential election.
The people of Tanzania, especially the Lutheran Girls Secondary School, Selenium Lutheran Hospital and Hospice Program, and the Rwanda Tribunal.
The people of Afghanistan and Iraq, as they seek to self-govern and seek peace and dignity for their citizens, the people of Israel and Palestine, that they would grow ever more hungry for peace.
For the country of Liberia, for the 14 years of war that are 14 years too many, for the people there that are trying to learn to live without war.
Mm-hmm. For the Bridgeforth family after the loss of their son, Bobby. Mm-hmm.
For Leslie Robinette, who suffers from cancer, and her young son, Ben, who is mourning that his mother can't play with him.
For those households that are torn by conflict and violence, for children and family members living in fear of one another.
Hospitals around the world where people are ill and suffering and afraid.
For homeless and hungry who must scramble just for daily sustenance and cover, whom it is so easy to overlook.
For those with terminal illnesses, that they might find comfort, peace, and joy in you.
For a joyful acceptance of the aging process that we all face.
For those struggling with addiction, they may understand that there's a life in God, and that he will fill up the spaces that we choose to use drugs and alcohol to mute.
For people and families who struggle with purpose in life and don't know how to find it, for those who don't have the helping hand of churches or communities, and don't know which way to turn, God, lead them to some source of help.
For companies and corporations that now have less regard for their employees than they do for their bottom line, for integrity, for new administrators in these areas who are not greedy, who are not deceptive, more honest and caring.
A blessing for Matt and Jenna as they begin their first week of marriage.
For men, women, and children who are survivors of sexual assault, may they know that it's not their fault, and find forgiveness and peace in themselves through God's help.
For young families that are caught between the materialism that surrounds them, is a magnet drawing them into it, and better virtues and morals and things that they want to choose. Help them to have the strength to choose the way that will be most pleasing to you, oh God, and best for their families.
For all the women participating in this retreat. For Cheryl, whose estrangement from her family is very troublesome.
For the churches that are suffering internal turmoil, that they may find the true purpose of their community and the outreach that they should be having.
Who are caretakers of the ill, give them hope, joy, courage.
May we and all people renew our trust in you. May we stay connected to you always, for in you there is eternal hope and wholeness. O God of love, may we abide in you.
Jesus, you tell us to remain in your love, for by this we will be your disciples. We confess that we do not always remain connected to you. At times we have solely pursued our own desires. Acting on our own, we have hurt others with harsh words and insensitive actions. Living apart from you, we lose perspective and inner peace. We wither like a branch cut off from the vine. We desire to remain connected to you. Sustain and nourish us. May we bear the fruit of long suffering and kindness in our families and all our relationships. God of love, may we abide in you.
You to stand. And in some way,
May we connect ourselves to one another so we are all united. For the gift of life, we give you thanks.
For the gift of joy, we give you thanks.
For placing a seal upon our hearts, we give you thanks.
For the precious peace and serenity of this village, we give you thanks.
For the gift of each woman present in this room, we give you thanks.
May we live as women deeply abiding in you. May we live as women who find our home in you.
May we live as women of joy.
Amen.
Amen.